that there's a peace that's in my heart, that as I pray with urgency over the families of our church and over what God is doing, and even though there are things that I don't like that aren't manifesting how I think they should, yet I have to understand in my heart, just like Joseph did, that there is contentment in my soul saying, God, I'm not exactly happy about where I'm at or where the church is at, the things that are happening, but I know that you're in control, and I know that my Redeemer lives. It's a great hymn, and I even considered actually singing it this morning, but I couldn't find it fast enough. It's, I Know Who Holds Tomorrow. I might sing it next week. We'll just see what happens. But I know who holds tomorrow. And you know, we may not know what even happens after our church service today. We might not know what happens in the next week to come, but I know who does. And it's the God we serve. Will you trust Him with me? It's going to require you to set aside yourself and to pray and to ask God, Father, set me aside and I want your will and I want to pray according to what you want. I know it's an exercise and maybe out of your comfort zone a little bit, but I tell you what, there's a great reward coming when we set ourselves aside and we allow God to speak to our heart as we pray. It's amazing sometimes what He'll reveal. All right. Hey, we're in week number 3 of our series of the Armor of God. Oh, four. Boy, it's just going so fast, I can't keep up. Where's the golf ball? Week number 4. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 12 through 18 is our text, 12 through 18. And so if you would stand with me, if you have that in your Bibles, Ephesians chapter 6, 12 through 14, we're going to talk about the shield of faith today. Verse 12. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all taking the shield of faith, with which we'll be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplications for all the saints. Father, thank you today for this time in your Word. Thank you, God, for our time in it. I pray that you would make the most of that time, that we would sense your power in your word today for us, that we would sense your direction for us as we continue. May all things be hidden behind the cross of Jesus today and what he affords us because of his sacrifice and his victory over sin and death. And I give you praise for it, Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 You may be seated. As you're being seated this morning, just a quick housekeeping announcement. For whoever wants to join us today, we're going to have a baptism after church. I'm getting the blood flowing already because I know that water is going to be nice. Emily Joy Bush is going to get baptized today, and we are excited. Scott, I got him a to-go bag, and so we're going to go down. We're going to get changed. We're going down to the lake, and so if you want to join us right after church, head yourselves down that way. We're going to see Emily Joy get baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. It's going to be a great time at the lake today. Amen. You excited, Emily? I am. I am. In fact, I'll tell you, I'll go swimming today with you afterwards. I'll go all the way under with you, okay? Okay. This isn't the latest one. The latest one is November. I think Bruce was there when we did that one. That one was cold, I'll tell you. I think we were 2 weeks from ice. And, But hey, I digress. Let's go back to the message this morning. But we're excited for that this afternoon. And so if you want to join us, you sure can. We're just going to do a great time just down at the lake for just a few minutes. The shield of faith. Faith is one of the three things that remains. And as far as 1 Corinthians go, these three things remain. Faith, hope, and love. Faith, joy, and love. But the greatest of these is love, it says. But faith is one of the things that remains. Faith is the one thing that it takes to please God. And so it's important that faith is part of our armor. That faith is part of what we stand for and we stand with in Jesus Christ and what he's done for us. And certainly, faith is something that continues to grow as we continue to grow in Christ. It continues to change. I don't have the same faith I did last week or last year or last 2 years. Hopefully my faith has been growing as I've seen God work in my life, as I've seen what he's done for me, my faith continues to grow. And I hope that's your case too, that as you walk with Jesus, that he shows you things that allow your faith to grow in him. If you feel stagnant this morning and you feel like faith isn't growing in your life, then it's time just to sit down with God and say, God, I need to see what you're doing. Because God wants us all to grow. And if we're not growing, there's something wrong. So I want you all to grow this morning, and by putting on the armor gives us the best chance to protect ourselves for growth. One quick nugget of truth about the armor. We like to bring up a different nugget of truth every Sunday. This is the nugget this morning. All armor is fitted especially for the person. In wars of old, you couldn't take somebody else's armor necessarily and wear it into battle because it was tailored to you. It was fitted for you. So when you put the clasps on the breastplate, when you fitted your girdle around you and you put your sandals on, they were all your size. They weren't someone else's. And the analogy is that the same way in our walk of faith is the same way. If we go back to 1 Samuel chapter 17, we see that David, a young man, was going to face Goliath. And Saul, who I believe was even probably bigger man than I am, probably in his mid-six-footers, 6'3", 6'4", it said that he had a dandruff problem. Did you know that? Did you know that Saul had a dandruff problem? You got to read it for yourself, but I'll tell you what it says. It says he stood head and shoulders above all the men of Israel. Some of you guys will get that later. So, but Saul was a big man. He was from the tribe of Benjamin, a big man from one of the smallest tribes. Kind of ironic, isn't it? But he was the king of Israel, and he was so scared to face this giant who was probably about 9.5 to 10 feet tall, they figure. And probably weighed about 600 pounds, just his flesh, not even his armor that he had on, or the spear that he kept, or the javelin he had, or the shield that he had. And Saul looked at that daunting man, and he said, I can't, he's too big. I can't hit him. David said, he's so big, I can't miss him. So he went to Saul, and he said, Saul, I'm going to fight this man for you, this giant who defies the Israelite army. And Saul said, well, you're going to need some protection, son, so let's get my armor, my best armor, and we'll put it on you. It says that David tried his armor on and says, you know, I can't do this. And the King James says that I haven't tested them. I haven't fought with them, but I think what it really means is, hey, this stuff doesn't fit me. David was just a young boy. He could have been 13, 14, 15 years old. We don't know for sure, but we do know he was the smallest of his brothers, and only three of his older brothers were part of the army of Israel. And there were more between, so he was a young man. But as we hear the story, as we remember the story, David went out with a sling. Goliath said, I come to you, I'm going to feed you to the birds. And David said, you know what? You come at me with a sword and a shield, but I come with you in the spirit of the mighty God. I'm going to feed you to the birds. And he did. After he cut off his head, he just left his body there, and I'm sure the birds just took care of that prophetic word that David spoke. But all armor, getting back to why I said that, all armor is fitted for the person. You can't walk in my armor, I can't walk in yours. It's tailored for your walk, it's tailored for your life, and God means for you to fit your armor to yourself that you will be the best protected you can be with his help. Because I'll tell you something, the things that you will go through in life, I will probably not go through. There are things as a church that we collectively walk through together, but there are things in your personal life that I will never experience that you will have to experience alone, and if you've got the armor of God, know this, that it is fitted for your benefit so that you may be successful in battle. As we talked last week, the feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, we found out that it's not about evangelism, it's about warfare, that God protects every step we take, that God's dominion is every place that we go, and it protects us. It's fitted for making us mobile and coming against the gates of hell. Well, now we're going to talk about the shield of faith. So if you'd show our picture, our first one there, Gladriel, this is the one we've been referring to in the series. The shield of faith is at the bottom. You see it's a long shield. And Ephesians chapter 6, verse 16 says that we have to put on, above all, take the shield of faith, which you'll be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. Remember that verse. We're going to be referring to it just a little bit later. It was probably one of the most important parts of the armor for defense. The shield could ward off blows from a hand-to-hand combat. It could deflect arrows. It could do a lot of things. And in fact, it had one purpose, but a myriad of different ways that you could use a shield. You could use it to ram somebody, to knock them off balance, and then slice them open. Sounds pretty gross, doesn't it? But that's exactly what they used to do. So the shield was very effective, not only in defense, but in offense. And it was mobile enough that you could use it to protect whatever body was under attack. Your faith is made so that no matter where Satan tries to attack you, God intends for your faith to be strong enough to go to that area and say, I know that my Redeemer lives. I know what the Word says about this, and I know I can be victorious. Why? Because my faith doesn't lie in me. It lies in my Lord. The spirit of that faith that lies within you isn't something that you can buy. It isn't something you can just earn. It's something that's given to you as armor that God might protect you. And it fit each soldier individually. It had leather straps in the back that were fitted for the arms, so they weren't loose, they weren't too tight, they fit just right into the arm. So you show the next picture, Gladriel. There wasn't just one type of shield. There were all kinds of shields. And so I brought up a slide. There it is. And you'll see here there's a whole bunch of different types of shields. Now, how many, and this isn't the only types of shields, this is just the Roman army shields and during the Middle Ages. But every nation, every tribe, every people had their own way of protecting themselves. Now you see the great big tower shields. And the Romans had one that was called a scutum. And we'll talk about the scutum at the end of the message. But there was a scutum, and it was kind of like this. It was large and square, but you can see how small they get smaller and smaller and smaller. And this is the one I want to make you aware of, is a throwing shield. I did not know that men used to throw their shields at their enemy. I didn't know that. Did anybody else know that? Okay, so I'm glad we're all in the same boat there. But look at the different sizes of shield, and they were all meant for different tasks. These were greater protectors. But it's hard to run with these. It's hard to be mobile with these. These are great for mobility, the smaller ones, but they don't protect as well. So each one had a specific task in battle, a specific task in warfare, so that when you went to war, no matter where you were in the army of the man you served, you had a shield specific for that task, whether you're part of the cavalry, whether you're part of the reinforcements, or whatever it was, there was a shield meant for you. And in the body of Christ, there is a shield meant for you specifically in the body of Christ, in the Lord's army, if you will. Whatever position you hold, my shield as a pastor is different than your shield as a prayer warrior or as a person who attends this church who is an evangelist for Jesus Christ in the workplace, in school, among your family who may not be saved. But the shield is meant for you and where God takes you. It is fitted for you. Romans 12:3 says this, for I say through the grace given to me to everyone who is among you not to think more highly of himself than he ought to think, but soberly. For God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. There is a shield available for you. It is meant for you. It is tailored for you. It is fitted for you and for your battles. And God wants to give it to you. He's prepared it for you. All you have to do is pick it up and use it. The shield of faith. Our faith rests in the one who gives us the faith. Did you know that the very first verse in the Bible is a faith verse? Let's quote that verse together, shall we? In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Let's read it again. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. You'll notice there the first four words. In the beginning, God. If you can't get past the fact that God did these and have the faith that God did these, the rest of the Bible means nothing to you. God is, our word tells us, and He is a rewarder of them who diligently seek Him. We have to believe that he is. The very first verse in the Bible, and probably the most frequently read verses of any reading program, is Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God. In the beginning, God. So we see God requires us from the very first time we open the written word, as Moses penned it with God's inspiration, that God is. He wasn't just was, he's not just is or not will be, he is right now. He is eternal, past, present, and future. And we have to wrap our heart around the fact that he is. And we have to have faith that he is. There's a lot in this world today that would tell you that God isn't. Evolution tells you God isn't. The gender movement tells you God isn't. Abortion tells you God isn't. The issues in our culture are anti-God, anti-spiritual, and they will all tell you that God isn't. But I'll tell you something this morning, God is. God is. And he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. It's sometimes not easy to seek God out, but I'll tell you something, if you stick to the plan of seeking God out, he will reward you. And when that time comes and you really need him, guess what? He is going to be there. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 3 through 5 say this. Paul was talking to the Corinthian church. He says, I was with you in weakness, in fear, and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. This is the important verse, verse number 5. That your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Maybe some of you remember R.W. Schambach on the radio. Hands? That was his favorite verse. R.W. Schambach. That's the way he used to kind of talk. But his favorite verse was, I came to you, not that your faith shouldn't rest in the power of the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. And that's my intent this morning. I can say lots of flowery words about faith, but your faith can't lie in what I say this morning. Your faith has to lie in the experience of the power of God and the resurrection of his son Jesus. That's where your faith is strong. That's where your faith is real. Shields were often decorated. This is an interesting point about shields. They were often decorated with the symbol of their leader or country, so that they'd be able to tell who's on whose side in battle. Nothing worse than taking your comrade out. Friendly fire, friendly sword. So they often were decorated with the symbol or emblem of the country or the leader that they were representing. Why did I say leader? Because sometimes there were coups that rose up over countries to try and overtake them. Like Attila the Hun really didn't have a country. He had a coup, and so he went around. But I'm sure all of his armor, the soldiers, had shields that were decorated alike. So they looked the same in battle. Guess what? It's exactly that way with our shield of faith. We are decorated, we are ornated, and we are encrusted with the symbol and the emblem of the kingdom of God. And we have something in common. Because on the front of our shield, as it were, it would say, King of Kings and Lord of Lords, the army of the Lord. And no matter where you go in battle, you can go to any believer and you can say, I need you to pray with me. And say, yep, I got the same shield. Let's go to battle. Isn't that right? It doesn't matter what we're going through. The Bible tells us that we should bear each other's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. How do I know I can go to another believer? He's got the same kind of shield I do. It's got the same emblem. We're on the same side. And when we go together, the Bible says that, that one can put 1,000 to flight, but two can put 10,000 to flight. And when I am joined to somebody else and we're walking together, walking in unity, there's such great power in that. Imagine what a body of believers like New Life Assembly can accomplish for the kingdom when we're united. When our shields that are the same are united together. Imagine what the possibilities are. When my Bible tells me there's nothing formed against me that can prosper. And I bring another believer along with me, or two believers, three believers. I want you to believe this with me. I need you to believe this with me. We begin to pray together. We begin to ask God, Father, what is it that we need to do to have this victory? We can begin to pray into that victory and march ahead with our shields in front of us as the dominion and the domain of Jesus Christ, the kingdom of God, and we can see the victory through him. That's what the shield is for. And Jesus, of course, is the foundation of that shield, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. If you turn to Hebrews chapter 12, you see a very important scripture that's written there. The writer says this in verse 1 of chapter 12. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, what witnesses? The witnesses of the chapter of faith in verse 11. How God kept all those that were faithful. If you don't believe it, take, when you get home, read chapter 11, see all the things. And the writer says, and there will be not time to mention all the people that should be recorded in this chapter of heroes of faith. But verse 1 of chapter 12 says, because of the witnesses of faith, because of the people who believed in God, because of the people that didn't look at the world and said that's what it is, but they looked at God's kingdom and said that's what's true, and they went on ahead because they had faith in God. Therefore, all those witnesses that are there for us, let's take and let's lay aside every weight and the sin that so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the ending, the first and the last, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Glad, I want you to bring up verse number 1 again, if you would. Let us lay, right in the middle, let us lay every side, every weight and the sin that so easily besets us, so ensnares us. You know, there's a difference between sin and weights. Sin will keep you from serving God. Sin will try your faith. I get that. But the weights of this life will try your faith as well. Things that are out of your control, that you have no power over, things that happen that you couldn't have foreseen, that you didn't want to happen, that don't make life very pleasant, those are weights that are set on us. Maybe it's something in our family that really grieves our heart, and it makes us really, it gives us a weight inside. And you know what I'm talking about. When there's something that weighs on your heart, it's like it drags you down and you can't get joy. That's the weight that verse 1 is talking about. Lay aside the weight and the sin, whichever it might be. Lay aside the thing that's testing your faith. Lay aside the thing that would keep you from serving God. And then look to Jesus. Lay aside those things and look to Jesus, the author and finisher of your faith this morning. He has given you everything that you need. I think it's really important we go back to the scripture in verse number 16. Above all, take up the shield of faith with which you'll be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. Satan has an arsenal he would love to use against you. He has an arsenal that he would like to discourage you, to make you despondent, hopeless. And those fiery darts, they hurt. They hurt. And they can take a lot of different forms this morning. They can take a lot of different shapes. But the shield of faith is meant to quench every one of them. The shield of faith is meant to quench every one of them. But you say, Pastor, you know what? I feel like I'm all alone in this thing. I feel like I'm all alone in the fight. I don't feel like I have any help around me. And remember, I asked you before to remember this about that scutum we talked about before. It's a shield the Romans used in battle that wasn't pictured with the other ones. So Gladriel, would you show up that last one? That last picture? This depicts a battle scene. These are scutums. What is the army doing? They're linked together. They're coming across the fortress. and they're coming against the enemy, and the enemy is powerless. You see them dropping stuff on there, and nothing can hurt them. Why? Because of the strength of many to protect themselves. A lot of times, sometimes the shields had hooks and loops so they could loop each other together and be one strong battalion. And as you see depicted in this picture, even the ones overhead were kept next to each other so that nothing could get in from the top, nothing in from the sides, or from the front. Every person had a purpose with their shield. I want to look at this picture for a minute here, because sometimes we may be fending off a battle from the side. We might be fending off a battle of our finances, and we feel like we can't get victory over our finances, and all of a sudden Satan wants to bring another battle from another direction, but guess what? Somebody's got us on top. Somebody's shield is covering us. Sometimes Satan wants to come from the top, but we have people all around, all four sides, that have all used their shields to protect the outer limits of the army. And we have to understand this morning, the greatest strength that we have is serving Christ together. It would be ineffective to have a shield that went all the way around you and over the top. You could not move. But when you're linked together with other believers, it doesn't matter where Satan wants to hit. The shield of faith is meant to quench the fiery darts, to take care of the onslaught of the enemy. And if you're in a battle this morning, the best thing you can do is link yourself with someone else. The biggest lie of the enemy that I see out there today is Christians who don't go to other Christians for help. They think for some reason they have to be a martyr for this thing, and they have to do it all alone, and they wonder why they fail. It's because they haven't taken and linked shields with another believer. As I mentioned before, we need to bear each other's burdens. And sometimes things are so great for us, we can't do them alone. But you know, the one fiery dart that gets in, that gets around our shield, is pride. Pride keeps you from going to someone else and asking for help. Pride keeps you from being part of a group of people who can pray for you, who can believe with you, who can you can sound off to them and be your sounding board, and you can get strength from them. Pride keeps you all alone. And I'll tell you something, you will not advance with God and with Jesus Christ if you try and protect every facet of your life alone. You need others. Your shield of faith is an important thing, but you know what? You might be able to use your shield to protect someone else. You know what? I've been there. I know what you're going through. I know the feelings you have. Let me walk alongside you, because I've been there. My shield will cover us in this area, because I know it's strong enough. And something comes across my life and I feel like I'm being tormented, being tested, I need to be able to be humble enough to go to people and say, you know what, I just need prayer in this area. If you have a need, don't be thinking that Pastor Al is all clairvoyant. Oh, if I had this need, but if Pastor really was a spiritual man, he'd know my need. If you have a need, ask. Jesus said, ask, seek, and knock. That requires action on your part. If you need help, ask. Don't be thinking somebody else is going to know exactly what you're going through and they're going to say, you know what, I just sense by God. Sometimes that does happen. Praise God. God gives us clarity and he gives us insight. And he says, you know, you need to pray for this person because this is going on and they don't know how to ask for help. But there have been people in my life that I know that said, you need to kind of come alongside and join us in this group because I know you can get help here. But pride keeps us from asking. Pride keeps us from seeking. Pride keeps us from knocking. As we close today, remember the two important things about the shield of faith are this. It's tailored for your battle. It's tailored for what you're going through. But number two, it's meant to be joined with the faith, the faiths of others. You are not alone. You are not alone. Somewhere a believer has gone through something that you're going through now and can be your strength if you allow it to help you. Don't allow your pride to keep you from seeking, from asking, and from knocking. Usually what ends up happening is if I seek God for something, God says, who have you told about it? Oh, God, I don't want to tell anybody about this. He says exactly why it's not victorious for you yet. You know, the most powerful secret is one that's not told to anybody else. But when a secret becomes known, it loses its power. Sin that is covered, sin that is contained, sin that is not confessed, is powerful over your life, and Satan will know exactly where he needs to place those arrows. But when the shield of faith is enacted and you release that sin and you let it be known, Satan loses his power of GPS and he can't get at you anymore. He can't home in on the exact place. Why? Because your shield of faith has been allowed to come across, and the humility you need to have before God has put that shield exactly where it needs to be. This morning you might be here and you might be going through something in your life that you say, I don't know how I'm ever going to see my way out of this. I don't know how I'm ever going to get wisdom to know what to do. You know, maybe it's sometime you tell somebody else that you can trust to walk this path with you. Let's link faiths. It could be, I know exactly what you have and what you need. It could be, I don't have a clue, but I know that I have faith to believe that God can answer prayer. The best counselor and the best teacher and the best pastor don't always have the answer, but they know the one that does. They know the one that does. There may be times when I feel like I don't have all the equipment that I need. I don't have all of the assets in my corner that I need to counsel with someone. But you know what? It doesn't matter. God knows. God knows. And if I can humble myself enough and just let him take control, usually, and not, I'm going to say always, if we let him take control, he sees the answer for us. He sees the answer. Will you put on your shield of faith today? And if you find your faith not being where it needs to be, will you link arms with someone else? And will you tell someone else what's going on so they can link shields with you? Because together, you can do so much more than all alone. As I get ready to close, just one more analogy, something that's really current in our memories is Hurricane Dorian. It went all the way up the seaboard, causing damage, and I know it weakened some. But God brought this to my mind. He says, you know, consider Bermuda, who sits alone in the ocean as an island. And it doesn't matter what direction Dorian was, if it was east of them, right on the top, west of them, north of them, south of them, it didn't matter. Whatever direction Dorian was, Bermuda was going to get hit because they were all alone. There was nothing to protect them. And the seaboard has the whole continent of North America on its west borders, and that acts as a barrier for these storms. Weather is created over our United States that gives us barriers against these storms sometimes coming into landfall. And God says, just like that with Christianity. A storm may come, and if you're all alone, it doesn't matter where the storm hits, you're going to get devastated. But if you're part of a bigger place, sometimes the strength of where you are gives you aid and allows the storm to pass. Storms will happen in our lives. Things will challenge us. Things will be devastating to us, but not nearly as bad than if we're all alone. And there's one encouragement I want to leave with you this morning. Satan would want to sift you and to get you all alone. That's where he wants you. He wants you all alone. Because then it doesn't matter what side he hits. It doesn't matter where he comes in with his storm. But when you're part of a bigger group and you stand with the face of those that love you, there is great strength. We've seen some great answers to prayer in the past couple weeks with our prayer chain. Many of you have seen those that are part of the prayer chain this morning. And I'll tell you, it's just a great example of when many warriors go to prayer for the same thing, God moves. We don't understand why or how sometimes, but we just know He does. So let's bow this morning for just a moment.